Today's episode is being sponsored by Swiss Hospitality Guild. SHG is a training center created to meet the strong demand for specialized hospitality staff. This training concept was born from the experience and expertise of its founder, Egidio Marcato. Egidio has become a reference in the world of hospitality coaching and has had success stories in skills championships, including Swiss Skills, Euro Skills, and World Skills, as well as the AICR World's Best Receptionist Competition. Contact SHG at www.swisshospitalityguild.com. Good morning and welcome to 50 Shades of Hospitality. This is Crystal Cavan, your host. Today, we are very happy to welcome Ariane Hohler from Germany. Ariane is president of AICR International. Good morning, Ariane, and welcome to the show. Can you please tell our listeners a little bit about yourself?
Good morning, Chris. I'm delighted to be here. And first of all, thank you so much and congratulations. You have pronounced my surname very well in German, Röhrle. And you know, you almost got it. But for now, we can skip the surname bit. I don't really like my surname. It means little straw. For all those who don't speak German, it means little straw. Or you can call me Ariane, and we just skip the surname. That's fine. So I'm delighted to be here. You've pronounced my name. You've pronounced my title. I am the current international president of AICR. And for those who do not know anything about the AICR, it's actually an abbreviation, okay? It's a French abbreviation. It means Amical International de Chef de Réception. And for those who don't speak French, it's actually an association that brings front office managers and hotel managers together from all around the world. It's an international association, and it's a grown association. It's almost 60 years old. It was founded in 1964, and we've got over 1,000 members worldwide. And on a national level and international level, we meet, we exchange, we share best practices, and we award the world's best receptionist on an annual basis. We're very proud of this competition. And that's who we are. That's what we do. And I'm playing the role of international president. So I have obviously the wonderful routine to meet on a regular basis with all these wonderful individuals. And we obviously plan and execute the competition. We plan and execute these wonderful meetings and gatherings around the world.
Excellent. Thank you. So you're quite young to be a general manager.
Age is just a number, Crystal. Age is just a number.
Absolutely. Yet it's quite impressive, someone as young as you. What advice can you give our listeners on how to become a general manager today? Someone who is ambitious and quite young like yourself. What advice could you give them?
I mean, you're right. I became general manager of a four-star hotel in Bavaria in Germany at the age of 30. And some people think that is quite young, and it is true. Obviously, you need to have a little bit of working experience in order to be general manager. So for those who want to become general manager without any practical work experience, it's important to have that work experience first and work your way up. It's always important to start from scratch, right? And to learn and understand how a housekeeper cleans rooms, or how a receptionist checks in and checks out people, or how the pot wash works, or how the bellboy works, and so on and so forth. So I think it is very important, if you want to become general manager, that you learn the basics first and you understand and respect the basics first. Another advice is to learn from different cultures, from different nationalities. Hospitality is a very kind of wide topic. It's an international, a global topic with so many wonderful facets. We have city hotels, we've got resort hotels, small hotels, super large hotels. We've got cruise ships, hotels on islands, hotels in city centers, hotels in rural areas. And it's important to really get an understanding on how varied it is, how multifaceted it is. And in order to become a successful general manager or to become successful as a general manager eventually, it is important to understand that your broad variety of hospitality out there. And as a third advice, I would say always work on weaknesses. It's very easy to work with your strength, you know, whether you are very outspoken or very charming, or whether you speak, you know, several languages, etc., or whether you're good in maths and in accounting, etc. It's good to have these strengths, but at the same time, it's more important to actually be aware of your weaknesses, work on your weaknesses more than on anything else, and make them your strengths. Because as a general manager, you need to be good in many things, not only in one specific topic. This is why it's called general manager, right? You need to actively know what's going on in so many sectors, in so many areas, and you need to love them. If you don't love, you know, the general aspect of being a general manager, then you are not a good general manager. So these are the three advices I would give.
Thank you. Very good advice. Today, we talk a lot about branding. Can you explain exactly what this means? And in your opinion, you know, how does someone brand themselves?
Yeah, I think when we go back and understand how marketing worked in the 80s and 90s, right? When you look at these very fashionable marketing campaigns of, I don't know, McDonald's or Marlboro or all the other kind of 80, 90 big players, I think, you know, this kind of approach is quite outdated, where you have these shiny ads and it's, you know, at the forefront, it's very colorful. And they just say, okay, we've got the largest rooms. We've got the, I don't know, the best burger. We've got the cheapest hotel rooms. We have a wonderful promotion, etc. I think these times are over right now. Marketing and branding becomes more complex and multi-layered. And especially when you look at yourself, I mean, if you want to become a general manager, if you want to become successful in your life, it's very important to be aware of how to brand yourself, how to portray yourself to the world. And it's not a flashy image on an Instagram page or a catchy phrase in your bio, but it's more a very authentic personality you need to have. You need to be yourself. You need to be proud of your roots and who you are. You have to have a strong skill set, but at the same time, obviously, you need to show the world that you're not a machine. And your values need to be in line with what you do. So if you are a great, or if you want to become a great hotelier, or if you want to become a general manager in your life, obviously, you need to have similar values, not only in your professional life, but also in your private life. If you want to brand yourself as a general manager, people want to know, you know, who your family is, or what your children are like, or what your hobbies are. They want to know. And if you show them how you are, and if it is in line with your values, then people will respect you for it, and people will understand, not only your guests, but also your employees. And I find this more important than ever.
Yeah, people are looking for substance.
Exactly. Yeah.
Ariane, how do you think managers and directors should lead today? And how has this changed, do you think, in your opinion, over the recent years, the way managers lead?
When I remember my time, or my start in the hospitality career, where I kind of was employed as a page boy, and I would be kind of supervised by this concierge or by the rooms director, who would look at me and look at or kind of judge me the way I would stand, and I would actually have my hair done, or the way I would greet people, or the way that I would kind of pass through the lobby, the way I would be walking. And the way I was criticized, I think it was very important for me at that time to learn. And but at the same time, I feel that this has also changed nowadays. Nowadays, that kind of top-down approach of leadership, where you just tell people what to do without making them understand or making them believe what you believe in, it I think it is no longer applicable. So now I feel that it is important to act as a servant, right? When you lead people. This has changed a lot. Nowadays, people have high expectations when they work alongside you. Your guests have higher expectations than they have in the past because they are now able to compare globally. And it is important that as a leader, you fulfill their needs and you understand what they really want, what they really need in their professional lives, also in their personal lives, and serve upon those needs. The approach would be that you basically sit together and you really understand where they're coming from, what they want in life, what they want to achieve in their life, what they're happy with, what their true motivation is when they come to work. You have these, you know, wonderful talents who want to become general manager themselves, but you also have people who are very happy when they're just, you know, standing in the lobby serving coffee, or, you know, that they're very happy that they have their stable income on a monthly basis and that they obviously are able to feed their families at home. And you cannot have that one pattern as a manager, as a leader, kind of one size fits all. You know, I'm the big boss and I tell everybody what to do and it doesn't matter who sits in front of me right now. I think it is important to really personalize and understand where they're coming from, what their beliefs are, what their needs are, what their goals are, and do everything possible. You know, present them with all tools you have, with all knowledge you have, all experience you have, all measures you have to make, you know, their dreams, their goals come true, help them on the way. And yeah, I think it has changed over the last 20 years. And I am in that hospitality scene now for 15 years, and I have experienced a big change in leadership.
Yeah. So more and better communication and connection.
Absolutely. On an emotional level, right? Surely emotion, you know, plays a huge role. Everyone wants, you know, it's important to share emotions, to, you know, to know who the person who sits in front of you is and to engage with them. Not only, you know, communicate, but engage with the people. Yeah, it's not only about, oh, you know, we spent this one hour together on a weekly basis. You just, you know, tell me your problems and I actually don't listen. It doesn't work, right? But if you tell me and I listen and I react in a way that influences you, right? Then you will see that people will, you know, will support you, will like what you do, and will be loyal, right? And in the end, it's, you know, we have that huge struggle in the hospitality industry right now that people are leaving our industry. And this is one of the reasons. It's the reason that, you know, they don't feel understood. They don't feel valued. The managers don't engage. They, you know, there's this big barrier between I'm the boss and you're the, you know, kind of the servant. And, you know, I tell you on a monthly basis, I tell you your goals and what to do and how to achieve this. And you need to do more. And the occupancy is high and we don't have staff. So do more, do better, do harder. But in the end, nobody really understands. Well, you know, I'm generalizing right now, but the key component is to really understand what the individual needs in order to exceed and to be able to just work and be motivated on a daily basis. And only if you do understand the reason why people get out of bed in the morning and why they come to work on a kind of satisfied level, then you obviously have a productive individual, you have a productive worker. And, you know, that makes you as a leader happy. That makes you as a general manager happy. And that, you know, makes the business eventually a successful one.
Yeah. And happy people make for good hospitality.
Absolutely. Happy people first.
Happy people first. A topic that comes up regularly is how difficult it is to combine work with family life. And this is especially true in the hospitality field. Can you give us some ideas and advice about how this can be done, how you can find this balance?
You're absolutely right. It is right now a huge challenge. You know, we have digitization, we have startups, we have huge other industries who are able to cope with that problem. You have obviously people who that want to grow a family. That's normal, right? It's part of our DNA to become parents or to grow a family, to have children and put a focus on in your life. That's normal, right? That has never changed. It has always been like that. But right now, the hospitality industry has that huge struggle because other industries are obviously coping with that circumstance better. You have obviously the problem of the caring problem, right? So here in Germany, for instance, there's this huge staff gap in childcare. So, you know, people obviously are looking for spaces to bring their child in for a couple of hours a day. And here there's just insufficient placements available. And so obviously kids remain at home, and obviously they want to be supervised, or they have to be supervised. And it's obviously one person, either the mother or the father, ideally, who would then spend quite a high number of hours per day with the child. And there are industries out there who have the possibility to do home offices or these tele work contracts where obviously you need to be online, yes, or you need to be on the telephone, but at the same time, you're given so much freedom of your time and you can plan, you know, your day as you wish with, your shifts being, you know, free. You can decide when to take holidays also on short notice and so on and so forth. And hospitality right now, you know, it doesn't work. And we all understand that obviously a cook, a chef needs to be there to cook the food, yeah. Right? It cannot be done by a machine, and a cleaner cannot work from home either, right? And advise a machine to clean the room. We're not there yet. So to overcome this problem from a leader's point of view is obviously seek these opportunities, to recreate job roles. I mean, do we really need a sales manager on site? Do we really need a revenue manager on site? Do we really need a general manager on site every day? Do we need the reservation department on site? I would definitely challenge that. And at the same time, that would overcome that problem quite a lot. You will then be able to balance your work, your life better if you could do it from home, surely. I mean, I have two kids, so I know the struggle with two kids at home and, the struggle to manage a family office at the same time, you know, as running a full-time employment. But this, from a leader's point of view, is surely something where you constantly need to look for the latest technology, you know, learn from others. Here in Germany, a four-day week has been introduced in a couple of hotel chains. So that's surely something what, rises the attractivity of working in the hospitality industry. Yeah. But at the same time, as a worker, it remains a challenge. And as an advice, if you have the struggle at home and if you need to kind of balance it, I think it's important to communicate before just leaving the industry, right? If you are, let's say, a front office manager and obviously you get pregnant, it's wonderful, right? I mean, people should applaud and say, yes, it's fantastic that you are a mother or you want to become a mother or whatever, and you want to grow a family. And I'm sure there are ways to kind of balance it still, right? It's wonderful if a mother is able to, I don't know, spend a Tuesday off, right? And is able to do grocery shopping when no one else does it, for instance, right? Maybe there's a shift schedule that is in line with your needs, right? Or your family life. Maybe the father is able to, go on a 75% employment or work in shifts as well, etc. And that's how to overcome this problem. But to generally say, again, it's a pattern where you say, yes, it works or no, it doesn't work. I think it's not the time to, it's not a yes and no answer. It's more of a question of communication. Again, it's a question of engaging with your employees and say, okay, what do you need? Now we have the situation where you want to grow a family, or you are growing a family, or you do have a family. What can we as a business do to make it work instead of, oh, you don't fit anymore, right? We're not in the situation anymore where we can just say, okay, well, you better leave our industry. No, we need to play carefully and responsibly with that. I love the idea that actually hotels are integrating childcare, yeah, mm-hmm. in their kind of in their employment, benefit program. It's wonderful.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
And there are options out there, right? Usually hotels, they have the facilities, right? Why not? It's fantastic. And it becomes automatically, it becomes more attractive. Like, leaders need to look for opportunities, challenge the status quo, rethink and think outside the box to overcome this problem with the individual, right? And the solution is not replace the individual.
No. Excellent. In the hospitality field today, you often have a global team that is culturally diverse. How can leaders effectively manage teams like this?
I've worked in Germany, German origin, and I've also worked in foreign countries. I've worked in Europe and in Asia. And I think it is very, very important to understand how foreigners feel. If you have never worked abroad, or if you've never lived abroad for some time, you will never understand how foreigners feel that do not speak your language, or that, you know, are not at 100%, language level, right? You will never understand. And you will not be able to understand how to manage and to lead those people, right? Because the most interesting aspect is, if, I don't know, Crystal, if you have ever lived and worked abroad, I guess yes, right? Because
I'm here in Switzerland. Yeah,
exactly. So you know how it feels
when
you want to speak French. I don't know how good your French is, right? But especially in the early times, right, you travel abroad, you start working there, and it is in an environment with a different language. Okay, so that's the setting, and you want to speak the language, you learn the language, but the problem is you're not able to communicate the way you want to communicate, right? You're not able to express your personality the way you want to express your personality, right?
Absolutely.
It's terrible, right? You as an individual, you feel that you are not able to connect, to communicate the way you want to communicate. And it hinders you. Right? It's a challenge for you. It drives you mad, right? Because people think automatically that you're stupid. Yeah. People think, you're a retard. Yeah. You don't speak the language. You cannot follow the conversation. Although, you have a wonderful education, you have had a wonderful education, you have your degree or whatever you may have, you have your work experience, and all of a sudden you're thrown into that different setting and you're not able to be the way you are. Okay. And this is, it's a huge problem for you as an individual. And now, if you do have a leader or a manager who understands and who overcomes this language problem, right, by either speaking the foreign language himself or by finding other ways to interact, to engage, to respect you, right? Or to help you along the way to learn the language or to be integrated, etc. It is something the individual, the foreigner, would never forget. So it's so easy as French to be with a French, okay? But if the French leader starts interacting with people that do not speak French good enough and integrates those individuals into your team, you make a team, right? You create that. Yeah, you integrate. And it's funny, but these foreigners, wherever they, wherever they are from, if they feel that they are integrated, that the leader is there and understands where the people are coming from, they will feel emotionally attached to you. They stay loyal. They are proud of their, of playing a role in that team, of being integrated in that team, etc. They won't leave. And I've seen so many businesses, so many departments out there where, HR departments that say, we can't find the right talent. They're looking outside, they're looking for foreigners in other countries, etc. They eventually find people, but then they stay for 6 months, they go, right? They go somewhere else. And I feel that if they understand how to approach foreigners and integrate them with respect and overcome this communication burden. However they want to, you know, overcome this, I don't know, you know, with technical support, or I don't know if they, you know, offer language courses or whatever. But if they are able to integrate people, they will stay, right? They will stay, they will learn, they will grow. And I have had wonderful experiences with cultural differences, with people with a different cultural background, people not speaking the language. It's amazing how quickly they learn, how quickly they adapt, how quickly they understand and be integrated, etc. And you can only have that if you are constantly you constantly have this at the forefront of your head and think, okay, how can we integrate? How can we respect? How can we learn from each other? So this is that's my approach to it.
Mm-hmm. And of course, hospitality is a global field, and a lot of people in the hospitality field have traveled and have felt what you just described. They were the foreigner, and they do know what that feeling is. And of course, that makes them much better general managers or leaders when they, as you explained, know what that feeling is to not be from the country and to not be integrated, to not have perfect language skills.
It's exactly what you were saying. You are a U.S. citizen, right, Crystal?
Yes, I'm from California.
Yeah. So, you know, when you travel, let's say to China or to Thailand, mm-hmm. right? Mm. Or to a country, let's say, I don't know, Barbados or Mauritius or France, Paris. And you would not expect everybody to speak English, right? But no. All of a sudden, somebody welcomes you with warmth, with open hands, and speaks your language, you automatically click, right? It's wonderful, right? And at the same time, when you have people in California that would naturally not speak English, right? And that they would stay within their group and they would just speak French, etc. Obviously, it's for them, it's harder to be integrated. So it's kind of, you know, vice versa, you need to kind of come together, right? Language is just, it's just a skill, right? I will share an anecdote with you. I was employed at Claridge's in London, okay? I was duty manager there. I didn't speak French, all right? I had, you know, French classes in school, but I forgot everything, right? My head just works, you know, with limited capacity, right? I only have space for German, for English, and one other language. So three languages, and French was not one of them. Okay. It was back then, it was Spanish. Okay. And I had German and English in the top drawer and in the second top drawer. Yeah. And then I had Spanish. Fine. And then French, yes, I did it in school, but I was terrible in French. I had a very, very bad grade back then. And eventually, a wonderful hotel in Paris called me. Yeah, it was Le Bristol in Paris. Wonderful hotel, Palace Hotel. Back then, the you know most stunning hotel in Paris because all other hotels were closed. And they called me and they said, "Bonjour, Ariane. Don't you want to become assistant front office manager, assistant chef de réception in Paris?" And I said, "Thank you so much, but you're calling the wrong guy. I don't speak French." Yeah, I could speak English, no problem. I speak German, but I don't speak French. And you want to hire me as assistant front office manager? Are you serious? You know, what would be the, you know, what would I do on the first day? People would ask me, you know, where's the loo in French? And I would have no clue what to say. I mean, you know, maybe I would know where the loo was, but I would have no clue how to express it. And I would, you know, kind of be in charge of a team as assistant front office manager. I would lead a shift. I would lead a team, you know, even as an assistant. Yeah, but obviously people would look up to me and say, "What the hell is this 25-year-old guy doing? He doesn't speak the language. He's too young, and he's leading our team." You know, this was my approach. I'm sorry. Thank you. I feel honored, but you're calling the wrong guy. And back then, and hopefully Janne Sørensen is listening, he gave me that advice. He was director of rooms back then. And he said, okay, but, you know, listen, language is a skill. And a skill can be learned, right? It's not your character. You know, we hire you because of your personality, because we believe that your values, your personality, your competencies, they fit. And a skill set, like your skill set right now, doesn't comply, right? You don't speak French. Yeah. But we will provide you with the tools, right? If you join us, we will make you speak French. And I listened and I followed his advice. So 8 weeks later, I was in Paris. Yeah. And I was assistant chef de reception. And I did speak French eventually after, let's say, 8 weeks, 12 weeks. They provided me with the tools. Yeah. They gave me private lessons. And, you know, I had a great teacher. She told me all the, you know, all the words and all the stuff. Right. It was great. Yeah. It was great.
That's impressive.
It's, yeah, but, you know, if I can do this, everyone can do that, okay? It's just what I said. It's this constant, this constant effort to work on your weakness, on your weaknesses.
Yeah. And to overcome your fear to learn new skills.
And to overcome the fear, yeah. Oh, I can't do this. I can't do that. I don't fit in. Oh, you know, I don't. Yes, you know, there is the option to go to and work abroad in Europe or in the US or in Africa or in Asia. But I don't know if I fit. Just, you know,
just
overcome the fear. Yeah, just do it. Yeah, let's, you know, do it. Yes. And it's good. You know, these decisions, they all always have to have that aspect of fear. It's good to be scared. Right. But, you know, work with that fear and say, okay, what can I do today to overcome this fear tomorrow, right? Can I prepare myself? Can I learn the language? Can I read a book about cultural differences? About, you know, I worked in China for 6 months. I was 21 years old. I didn't speak the language. They wouldn't even speak the language. They would neither speak German, they would not, you know, nor speak English, right? And I said, okay, fine. So there, I need to adapt. Me as a foreigner, I need to adapt. I can't have all 2 billion Chinese speak German and English all of a sudden, right? I need to adapt to their culture. Obviously, there's no way around it. So what did I do is I bought books. You know, back then, you know, you had to buy books. Now you can get everything on YouTube. But back then in 2008, I had to buy books, right? Cultural differences, right? You know, how Chinese work, how Chinese behave, what do they do, how do they greet, how do they serve dinner, how do you behave when you kind of have a chit chat with them, and so on and so forth. So you learn, you adapt, you learn the language, right? And you know, when you then enter, you will see the reaction instantly, right? Because they see, oh, he has actually, he tries. His English, my Chinese was crap. Yeah, I knew that. Obviously, my French is still crap. Yeah, but it's the, you know, it's the approach, right? It's, you know, it's just you give a little bit and you get back a little bit, etc. It's, you know, that's the way to do. And if Crystal, if you have that Parisian receptionist who would greet you in crap English,
it would be okay.
You would still engage emotionally, right? You would click. Yeah. You can make mistakes.
Absolutely.
It's okay. You wouldn't expect perfect American English. You don't even want perfect American English in Paris.
Absolutely.
It would feel wrong.
That's such good advice, especially because I've been teaching English for many, many, many years. And I always tell my students, you're not ever going to be perfect. So stop trying. Just try. That's all that's important is that you try. I have one last question because, you know, we could talk about so many things. So we're obviously going to have to invite you back, Ariane, because you have so much to say. Last question. How do you think leaders can create a working culture that inspires people and teams? You've already spoken a little bit about this, but what would be your last message, especially to young people maybe are thinking about, you know, getting into the hospitality industry, who want to go further in their career?
In the hospitality industry, you've got fantastic hotels. You've got wonderful destinations. You've got island properties. You've got city hotels. The rooms are always wonderful. They all have flat screens. They all have beautiful views. They all have these Michelin-starred restaurants. You know, they all have these great facilities. And sometimes I find it weird that hoteliers are proud to present their facilities to future employees and use this as a USP. Oh, we have a fantastic spa. Come work with us, right? I mean, the employee will never use the spa, right? And will never sleep in the comfortable beds and will never use the flat screen and probably won't even see the beautiful view out of the presidential suite. So why are they using that to sell working with them? And again, this has the need of the current employee has shifted as well. They don't care because they can, you know, they have other needs. They have other reasons why to join you as a company. And it's important nowadays to sell the culture. In hotels, you rarely find people who are actively creating a working culture with beliefs, with values, with emotions, right? What emotion do you want to sell to your employees, right? Not to your guests, to your employees. Do you want them to be happy? Do you want them to be motivated? Do you want them to stay with you? Or will you just take them, put them in a, you know, in big shoes and make them work for one season and then you don't care and then you will, you know, drop them off again? And I think this is very, very important, looking at your culture, yeah, your own working culture, and you practice what you preach. And, you know, there's so many great ways to present working in a hotel to potential future employees. You can work at a happy place. Everyone wants to work at a happy place, right? Where you feel challenged, where people value where you come from, where you have the right to be creative, to be innovative, where you actively drive change, where you're given projects that, you know, you are fully responsible for, and where you are able to see the success, the progress, and the success. People love
absolutely,
that, right?
Absolutely.
And if you give these people the freedom to decide how to tackle problems and how to challenge yourself in that certain set of guidelines, they will excel. It's important to put a very special focus on culture and stop selling rooms to employees and facilities to employees. That, you know, people can work wherever they want nowadays, and this doesn't count. I mean, why would somebody rather stay at home than work in a 5-star hotel with a swimming pool and a wonderful view? Because, you know, they appreciate the fact to be at home. Flexibility in terms of working hours, they could spend some time with their families, they're more flexible, you know, maybe the outfit is more comfortable, right? They could, you know, wear, you know, whatever they want to wear when they are at home, right? And they don't want to be in a suit, you know, for people that might be the reason why they prefer working at home. You don't know. Yeah, we cannot generalize, but we need to ask the question, yeah, why is it attractive to work at home or work in a startup versus work in the hospitality industry? And what are the reasons, what are the you know, the potential changes you as a leader need to make in order to make yourself attractive as an employer?
Absolutely. I just want to finish up with asking you to just tell us maybe one of the best-selling points for AICR for people that are maybe interested in becoming involved with this fantastic organization. Just leave our listeners with you know, why would they want to be part of this organization, and what are the strong points about being part of AICR?
The wonderful USP about this fantastic association is that it is an amical. Amical, again, is French, and it means friendship. And friendship is something that is very strong, right? You stay friends in good and bad times, right? Friends are honest. Friends stay with you. It's fun to spend your time with friends, right? You can spend days, you can spend nights with friends in a work environment, but also in a private environment. You just have a great time with friends. That's what friends are for. Friends also provide guidance, provide hope. And this is what AICR stands for. It's, you know, an international association of friends working in the hospitality industry. And it overcomes cultural differences. It overcomes frontiers, barriers on a national level, right? It's very integrative. It is very inclusive. We welcome everybody who works actively in the hospitality industry, in the room segment, right? And we provide them with friends, right? And it's interesting that we have members who have been part of the association for 50 years, right? And we have a huge growth right now, especially during the pandemic. Because what happened was, you had, you know, these front office managers or hotel managers in these fancy hotels. They would obviously be sent on furlough. They would spend their hours and days at home. And all of a sudden, you know, they become lonely, right? And they need people to speak with, to be connected with, perhaps even, you know, have this guidance or hope, yeah, of eventually meeting again. Or have that feeling and that sense of belonging that they're not alone in this terrible pandemic situation, right? And this is what the AICR did and will always do, is we create this friendship emotion and we give it to people who need it. And this is really something that is kind of our core proposition. And at the same time, we use tools to really, let's say, concretize it. We have our own app, right, where we do communicate with other members from all around the world. You are able to find friends with, you know, a click and say, oh, you know, I'm now in Bangkok, or I'm now in Paris, or I'm now in Warsaw. Where is another AICR member? How can I find this person with that same sense of belonging, with that same amical feeling, and maybe we can have a coffee together? Yeah, we can obviously meet on a professional level, but we could also meet on a personal level, because we, you know, we are in the same situation. We're sitting in the same boat, right? At the same time, we want to educate our members. Yeah, so we have that education pillar. We want to help front office managers or hotel managers that are located on islands or in you know, underdeveloped or developing countries that do not have the option to just, you know, learn hospitality management in, exactly, in fancy hotel schools, and are perhaps not given the chance in their respective hotels to, you know, broaden their horizon and learn more and develop themselves. And we want to provide this at little to no cost. So we, as an association, we provide lots of opportunities to educate yourself, you know, for nothing, right? We don't want anything. We just provide this knowledge. So this is a second pillar. And the third pillar is the talent aspect. So I've already mentioned it. We find the world's best receptionist. And why, for us, is it so important? We're not finding the world's best general manager. We're also not finding the world's best hotel manager or front office manager. We're finding the world's best receptionist. And it's funny, because I've done some research, and our association is the only association that actively awards career starters. Right? We don't want experienced hoteliers competing with each other. We want to have young talents who have passion for the industry, and we want to give them the ultimate recognition. a wonderful platform. We open all doors to all these front office managers, hotel managers globally, right? We want to give them that global platform, you know, the TV show, this TV-like award show, just like the Oscars. And we want to give them all tools into their hands for an outstanding career. And we want to find the world's best receptionist. So we want to find the person or the people. It's not just one person. And in fact, it's, you know, it happens on a national level. And we have all these national winners. And in fact, everyone who competes is already a winner because the hotel is already acknowledging the fact that it is a talent, yeah, the individual. So in fact, everybody is a winner. But we're the only one who actively, you know, seeks talent, develops talent, retains talent, regardless of location. And the pandemic has helped, but we right now really are looking for the world's best receptionist, regardless of location. So whether it is a 4-star hotel, a 5-star hotel, whether it is on an island, in a country, somewhere around the world that we have never heard of, fine. If there is talent out there, we will find you and we'll put you right there, all the way, the maximum recognition for the individual. And we're very proud of that. So we've got these three components, the social part, the education part, the talent part, and overall, the Amical umbrella, where we are just friends. And I'm very proud to be helm of that wonderful association. And to be very honest with you, you have asked me why or how did I become general manager at the age of 30? That's one of the reasons. The AICR, the association, is one of the reasons because it's, you know, it's a door opener. And, you know, you have that wonderful chance to meet like-minded people, leaders in the industry that help you, right? And you would always help a friend, right? You would always help a friend, you know, develop if you want to develop yourself or you want to grow in your career. And as we are a friendship association, that's the way it works. And it has surely opened a couple of doors for me. And it constantly opens doors for all our members. It's interesting to see how well our members advance over the years. And I think it is a wonderful benefit of joining the association.
Thank you so much, Ariane, for your exceptional insights, your advice, for telling us more about AICR. We will put information when your podcast comes out about if people are interested in joining this wonderful Amical. And we definitely look forward to welcoming you back to our podcast because we know that you have so many things to share with us, with our listeners. So thank you again.
Thank you so much, Crystal, for the invitation. It was wonderful to be part of it. Congratulations again on this wonderful and catchy name. And I can't wait to see all these wonderful hoteliers from all around the globe you are interviewing with. Well done. And thank you so much. It was an honor and it was fantastic to be part of it.
Today's episode is being sponsored by Swiss Hospitality Guild. SHG is a training center created to meet the strong demand for specialized hospitality staff. This training concept was born from the experience and expertise of its founder, Egidio Marcato. Egidio has become a reference in the world of hospitality coaching and has had success stories in skills championships, including Swiss Skills, Euro Skills, and World Skills, as well as the AICR World's Best Receptionist Competition. Contact SHG at www.swisshospitalityguild.com.